Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
What's the only show that showcases Newark's sporting talent? The show where you are the stars. You've guessed it. Play the music. A few months ago, a group of youngsters broke new ground when they represented the Newark Academy at show jumping. And this weekend, one of them is flying the school's colours at the national finals. And they're back at Sport Towers with their story. A busy weekend for Newark Athletic Club, the North Midlands League on Saturday and the Notts Mini League on Sunday. Amber Owen should just about have got her breath back by now. She joins us from the training centre at 20 past seven. And controversy at the boxing. Andrew Lowe joins us with his thoughts on something that Carl Greaves has not seen in his 30 years of sport. And Carl was completely disgusted. 10 to 8 for that one. I'm Mick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And of course, this is Radio Newark Sport. Still to come, all the big national stories. And our horsey girls are here. We're going to talk horses tonight. Hope you're on the ball for this one, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I thought it might be your strong point. Don't worry. Mum's here. We know what we're doing. Not a problem. Mum to the rescue. I'm going to talk.
I've actually done my research on this.
Have you?
Yeah, they've got four legs, haven't they?
Very good. And they kick. And they hurt when they kick, to be avoided at all costs. Very much so. Okay, time now to a quick look at the local headlines. And it's that boxing story that's the talk of the town, with Nathan McIntosh's first televising fight ended in a win and controversy when the Newark fighter was caught by a punch after the bell had gone at the end of the round. A win on the road too for another of our locals, Fons Alexander. And as I've already said, Andrew Lowe tells us all about it later on. A fantastic victory for the rugby club Colts, coming back from Bishop Stortford with a 24 points to 22 victory. Two tries from Jake Harding and one from Robbie Kay. Staying with rugby, and the under 18 girls overwhelmed Tamworth on Sunday. The white flag was raised when the home points was getting very close to the 100 mark. And England Sevens international Jess Weaver has been called up to the full international squad. How good is that?
This is Radio Newark Sport.
She's been called up for a four-day training session with the 15 lady rugby. So, I mean, that's another big plus for,
that's tremendous,
for our Jess.
Yeah.
So, you know, see, we're making England internationals out of our stars. No pressure, Lily. Okay, a couple of massive national talking points.
Yeah.
That sort of happened late this afternoon to sort of make all my preparation go out of the window. Leicester City have sacked manager Craig Shirchbear after just 4 months after he signed a 3-year deal to take the job on a permanent basis. The Foxes are third from bottom of the Premier League and have not won in their past six league matches. He succeeded Claudio Ranieri in February, initially on a temporary basis. After steering the Foxes away from trouble, they finished 12th and he was given the job permanently in June. But the best boy in the world, Tony, he should never have got the job. He is not the high class of manager that you need in that high pressure cooker that is the Premier League. And it makes me wonder just who's running that football club, because it's the players that got Ranieri the sack. It's the players that got Shakespeare the job. Who's running that football club?
Well, Craig Shakespeare is a perfect example of a good coach that's not managerial material.
Yes.
Step forward, Steve McLaren.
Step forward, John Carver. Mm. I mean, the list is endless, but still, they're appointing them. Are they appointing them because they're cheap?
I don't know. I really didn't like the sour taste that his appointment made in the first place, because I think Ranieri was not only booted out by the players, but I think Craig Shakespeare had a hand in that. And it didn't sit well when he was appointed.
The early favourite for the job, Chris Coleman.
Now that would be a very, very good fit, because I know Chris Coleman is tired of international football and wants a day-to-day involvement of being a club manager. And it would be a great appointment, because he's done a fantastic job with Wales.
I think it would be a risk, because as a club manager, he's never done anything.
Andy looks like Dracula.
You said that, I didn't. But I think that would, you know, at least he is a manager.
Hmm.
We will see.
Is a proven international manager.
The second big story that broke this afternoon is that Middlesex have failed in their appeal against a two-point deduction.
Good Lord.
In the county championships, confirming their relegation to Division 1.
When it was...
I can't believe it, I'm shocked.
When the hearing was held at Lords, and the fact that if they failed...
The punishment came after the slow over eight during August match against Surrey, which was abandoned, blah, 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 Christ, blah, blah. We've all been there, we know the story. Yeah. Middlesex finished 1 point below Somerset.
Unbelievable.
Who were ready to take legal action if the appeal was successful. This is the interesting bit. The Cricket Discipline Commission, the CDC, ruled that the matter did not need referring to a disciplinary panel hearing, as the rules relating to overrates are clear and understood by all teams, coaches, players and captains. So in other words, I mean, that is, isn't it? You know the rules.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah.
That's the answer to that one, isn't it? Because they haven't even taken it to a disciplinary hearing. I wonder, have we heard the last of it?
I bet the appeal.
Can they go anywhere else? World Cup playoff draw.
Yes.
Everybody didn't want Italy. And the two local sides didn't get Italy.
Local sides?
Well, they are. We're closer than Italy.
There's a great big pond in between us.
It's just a stretch of water. Northern Ireland will play Switzerland. Denmark will play the Republic of Ireland. Croatia will play Greece. And Sweden will play Italy. The tie of all that is Sweden and Italy,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. But that's kept them out of the way of the Irish, which is great news.
Switzerland's not going to be easy. But it's going to be easier than Italy. Two legs? Who knows?
I know Northern Ireland are at home in the first leg, aren't they?
See, it's interesting. The home leg will take place between the 9th and the 11th of November, and the second leg between the 12th and 14th. There's not a lot of time to get over it, is there?
You've got to get it right in the first game, haven't you?
Yeah.
No, it's... Republic of Ireland at home in the first leg.
No, they're in Denmark in the first leg.
Because you would always want in that situation to play away first.
The Republic of Ireland will do exactly what Forest used to do when they played away in Europe.
Hmm.
There'll be 11 behind the ball, and we'll try and keep it to 0-0.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, we're talking Forest on Thursday night. Did I tell you that one?
Yes, that's the night I'm doing my hair, isn't it?
Yes, we're talking Forest first, and we're talking Notts County tomorrow.
Oh, right, I'll come in tomorrow.
You've got to be fair, you see, haven't you? And you'll like this one before we get talking to the girls. One more before the girls, because I've got this one especially for you, when you put your jock hat on again.
It's always on.
Yes. Scotland's autumn test matches against New Zealand, Australia and Samoa are to be broadcast live on the Beeb. It will be Gregor Townsend's first home series as Scotland head coach, and the Murrayfield matches against New Zealand and Australia are already sellouts. The visit of Samoa, of course, isn't quite such a sellout. But the interesting thing is, both the BBC and BT Sport are simultaneously running the games, and it's good that it's on BBC Two, but it's on BBC. We can all watch it, not just the chosen few. Go on, you're going to say, you're grinning away to yourself.
No, if you, if you've seen Scotland play and if you've seen New Zealand play and Australia play, I'd rather it was on pay-per-view. Don't want to have the possibility of watching that. That's,
I like,
we're gonna
I
get
like watching any Scotland team play because it cheers me up how objectively bad that they can be.
I think we agreed with Richard Sheldrake last week. You know, Scotland are very good at mountains, but
yeah,
after
no,
that...
Yeah, no, they are good at mountains. They don't even call them mountains, though, do they? They call them Munros. Right, let's get down and let's get technical and let's talk to our special guests. They're chatting away between themselves, not taking a blind bit of notice of what I've been saying. So when I ask them the questions and give them a test on what I've been saying, they'll know the answers. What? All right. Back in spring, Lily Davies came in and told us all about the Newark Academy Equestrian Department. I mean, I didn't for one minute think Newark Academy would be in the remotely bit interested in equestrian. It's a town school, and they just didn't seem to be in for that one. But not only have they got this going, they've kept it going, and now Lily's off to the national finals. But let's, before we get to the national finals, let's just bring Mum in next to me. Come on, Mum. Because Louise is Mum, and she's sort of orchestrates everything here. When we spoke last time, you were so pleased that the New Academy had taken on the mantle of supporting your daughter and the girls. Mm-hmm. In the last few months since you've been here, has that continued?
Yeah, it has, yeah. They've been brilliant. As you'll see in a minute, we've got three of the girls here now because we now have a full NSEA Newark Academy team, which is fabulous. Yeah, they liaise with me quite a bit. The sports teacher, Mr. Beardsmore, she's on board, and we speak to each other. The school are helping with promotions and the correct equipment that the girls need to compete at all the competitions. So, yeah, they're fully taking it on board, which I think is great.
Well, that's wonderfully commendable from... And for the rest of the night, girls, I will be calling it the Grove School. Because they can call it what they like, it's the Grove. Right? It always was and always will be the Grove. And they want to give it a posh name, I don't have to use it. Lily, just put that microphone next to you because it's you that's got a big weekend in front of you. Are you nervous? You don't strike me as a nervous sort of girl, but are you nervous? Just come a bit closer to that mic, if you would, and talk. That's it. Is it just going to be another show jumping event, then, or equestrian event? I mean, is it just another day at the office for you?
Not really. It's a bit different, but it's not. I'm not really that nervous.
You're not. I'm nervous thinking about what you've got to go through.
I'm nervous. All the preparation.
Well, you've got to get it right. Yeah. You've got to get it right. Lily, tell us. We're going to talk a bit more after the event, but where is? Where are you going? You like them all. You just sit in the car,
yeah.
Put your earphones on, and turn up somewhere. You're going to Milton Keynes, yeah. With all the best. Is it just show jumping, or is it all aspects of equestrian?
I'm doing cross country and show jumping.
You're doing cross country and show jumping. Dressage? Is that the third one? Is that no?
It is there, but Lily isn't doing that.
Do you not fancy the dressage bit?
No.
I watched the dressage, I must admit, I watched it on the Olympics. And I sat and I did watch it. I don't normally watch things like that, but I have to make those horses do that. That's wonderfully clever. Do you think you can get your horse doing that? I take that as a no, shall I? No. Brilliant. You've got to go to school in the morning, I understand, though.
Yeah.
Well, they won't let you have school off all the day. They're letting you have Thursday and Friday off, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad, then. So, Mum, just come back in again, because you've got to get yourselves down there.
Mm-hmm.
Stay down there. There must be... The preparation... We'll talk about the preparation soon, but it must be unbelievable what you've got to... Because you've got to live down there for 2 days. Do you live... in the box then, or do you sort of disappear into a 5-star hotel somewhere?
I have actually changed to a trailer now, not a lorry, so we haven't even got anything to sleep in. I've spent a whole month trying to get us a bed and breakfast or a Premier Inn, but because the event's so popular, they've all sold out within hours of the schedule coming live. So we're camping. So hoping that it doesn't rain too much the next
What's your weather forecast, Mick?
Yes. Have you seen tomorrow's forecast?
Say that.
Say you're in a tent, Lily. That's I'll get in with the horse if I
was
you.
It's fine, we have good sleeping bags.
You have good sleeping bags, you hope for the best. Right,
do they float?
You brought two friends with you tonight. We've got Jess and we've got Alice. They're in your team, so to speak. Just flash that mic around and let them introduce themselves. Tell us who you are and tell us how long you've been riding and a bit about the horse.
I'm Jess. I've been riding for 5 years.
Jess, hang on, the mic doesn't seem to be working. Just speaking to it again.
I'm Jess.
You're Jess.
Try this one.
Just try that one, Jess. No, the mic's having a bit of a bad night. Just go closer to that one, Jess. Sorry about that, but
I'm Jess.
That's better.
I've got a horse called Jack. I've been riding for 6 years. Yeah.
And you've joined the Grove. We're going to call it the Grove equestrian team then.
Yeah, I joined it.
How many of you are there in it?
There's four of us.
What do the rest of them make at school then? Do they sort of, is it envy or does this sort of thing, well, you know, why aren't you playing hockey or whatever?
Well, I do quite a lot of sport as well as horse riding, but they're quite supportive really. Like when I tell them, they're always like, good. They're always happy for me that I'm doing stuff like this.
Excellent. And in the corner, let's have a go on that other mic again. I'll just bang everything and just hit it and see what happens. Who we got in the corner?
I'm Alice.
That's better. It's working now.
And my pony's called Duke. He is only a baby. So he's very spooky.
Only a baby.
And I've been riding for 6-7 years.
So you've been riding the third time then?
Yeah.
The mics, we are struggling with the mics a little bit here. But never mind, I think you'll probably just have to share that one. Okay, we're going to come back and talk a bit more show jumping, a bit more with Mum about how the preparations and what she's gone through and what Lily's going to expect over the next few days. But coming up next, it's our Amber.
Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Okay, straight to the National Training Centre for Newark Athletic Club and to our very own Amber Owens. Amber, good evening.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm all right.
You're good. First question, and this is a bit of an inbox question. Have you waved?
Have I waved?
Have you waved? That's from the weekend. Come on, keep up.
I don't get it.
Oh, dear. There's me thinking that one all the time. What did they keep asking you to do on Sunday when you was going about to run? You got to wave to say that you was ready.
Yeah, I get it now. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, I don't know why I bother sometimes.
Sorry.
I really don't. Let's start on a very busy weekend. And shall we start on Saturday with the North Midlands?
Yep, can do. Do you want me to go?
All yours. I'm going to listen to all this.
Okay.
Fire away.
Okay, there was some great running at Markeaton Park in Derby, and obviously it was the first cross-country race, and it was the North Mid, and we had 3 third places overall, and that was for Becky Gallup, who was a senior lady, Joseph Monk, who was an under-11 boy, and Amelia Crispin, who was an under-13 girl. And then for me, for under 17 women, I came about 9th overall, like in the age group, but then I was like 33rd overall. Tilly Owens came 20th and Lauren Owens came 21st in the under 17 women also. Senior ladies, Chloe Hubbard came 9th. And for the senior men, Tom Hubbard came 89th and Craig Renton came 93rd. Tim Bagley came 111th and Gareth Owens came 158th. And then also Rob Orgill ran and he came 255th and Bill Taylor also ran. So yeah, we had a big turnout.
It was an excellent turnout really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good turnout. And as well, because we were meant to have Max Corfer and his dad run, but they did the gruesome twosome pair race, which was somewhere else, and they ended up being I think they came, they were like the fourth fastest. I think it says on Newark they were sixth, but I think they were fourth. And they did it in a time of 44 minutes. So yeah, they had a really good run.
Do you know what the gruesome twosome's all about?
It's basically where you're in like pairs, and then obviously you have to run it. You have to run it together, kind of thing. So you have to run it together and you have to cross the line together. And it's whoever's pair crosses the line together first win, kind of thing. So obviously, if you're with a really fast runner, you're going to do really well. And obviously, his dad's quite fast. And that's just obviously really fast, and they did pretty well in their age group. They were fourth in their age group, so.
Good stuff. So I think that was a big plus for Newark AC on Saturday. The young man that we keep talking about, and it's Joseph Monk, and he's only a young lad, but the results he's getting, Amber.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah, he's only under 11.
Great things, I think, are. He had to choose between playing for Tewkesbury football in the primary school's football tournament or going and running for Newark AC. His sort of mother had to he had to have the choice of one or the other on Saturday, and he chose Newark AC.
I know, and he did really well. I mean, he came third. It's really good. He's only young.
Amelia, we pretty much expect that of, don't we?
Yeah.
And the twins sort of... Very little part in them, that's not a surprise, is it?
No, I mean, Tilly and Lauren have, like, just moved up an age group as well. So, yeah, you know, there's still no one in between them. They're still together.
I think that may be the same for an awful long time to come.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we all went to Sunday, and you didn't get a rest, did you? Or the Owens family didn't have a rest because you was leading the youngsters round in the second leg of the Notts mini league cross country event, which was hosted at Newark, and lovely to see a lot of people there.
Yeah, it was a really good event. I mean, it was basically us four, so like my dad, me, Anthony and Lauren, and that did all the hairing, and then Luke Sayer also helped do some hairing as well, so we did like half of the races.
Yeah, he just turned up to watch, and I noticed you lot working on him, and all of a sudden he was running. Yeah. I don't know. Luke Sayer, by the way, is hopefully coming on the show a week on Thursday because he's had a cracking year. And yeah, he's exactly. Going decathlon, I understand.
Yeah, he's really, really doing well with his decathlon.
And he's gone pole vault training with Team Owens.
Yeah, he goes pole vault training with Lauren, yeah.
So the youngsters ranked, what have you got for Sunday? What can you tell us about how the youngsters got on?
Okay, so... For the under 11 girls race, there were seven taking part, and there was Rebecca Sonderberg, who was 10th, Isabel Campbell was 12th, Zoe Smith was 15th, Anna Clark was 18th, Jasmine Braithwaite was 19th, Harriet Monaghan was 36th, and Lily Walls was 38th. So we had like a massive turnout for the under 11 girls. And then for the under 11 boys, Joseph Monk ran yet again, and he finished in third place in that race too, so he obviously had a double third. Joshua Lee came 17th, James Tall came 21st, Evan Rogers came 32nd, Thomas Moore came 44th, and Archie Thomas came 47th, so that was another big turnout. And then for the under 13 girls, there was Neve Monaghan finishing in 11th place, followed by Beth Jones, who finished 19th, and Maisie, who finished 40th. So obviously that was really good. And then there was three girls in the under 15 event, with Catherine Booth leading all the way, and she was like leading the way for Newark, so she was 8th place. And then there was Alice Gibb and Ellie Monaghan finishing 12th and 13th. And then there was only one under 13 boy, who was called Ben Mason, and he finished 26th place. So yeah, it was a really good day.
You know what is so good about all that, Amber, is a lot of those names that you mentioned there, that's the first time they've been mentioned.
Yeah, I know.
On Radio Newark Sport. So that's the next sort of golden age, because Newark's done very well in this mini league up until this year. I mean, I think the equivalent event 12 months ago, we had 6 out of 7 winners. Obviously, it goes in highs and lows, doesn't it? We didn't get any winners this time round, but these youngsters are getting their first blood in, isn't it, of cross country racing, It's the first time for many of them.
Yeah, and obviously I'll move through then from, hopefully from that age group, I'll move through and do lots more races. So yeah, it was really good.
And it's just fairly daunting, really, because there wasn't, you know, I mean, there's a lot of mums and dads there. There was a lot of people watching that, and as ever, the organisation from Newark AC, it was so good to see so many of the older ones there giving up the Sunday morning to come and organise it for the youngsters. I did think that was very good.
Yeah, well, a lot of people come and help. I mean, when they know it's at Newark, a lot of people, they bring cakes. You know, they come and help half an hour in the morning.
It has to be said, though, Tony, I never got any cake. No.
I did. There was cake left.
I know, but I missed out yet again.
Do you have a bacon butty?
No, I missed out on that as well. I got one last year. We didn't get one this year.
Oh, you should have done. They were good.
No, fine. Yeah, go on, rub it in. What's next on your list then, Amber? Because that was the first time that you've ran competitively for a good number of weeks.
Yeah, I know.
How did you feel? Because I understand that you didn't quite get the result that you wanted, but...
No, I mean, I'd have liked to do better, but I haven't been, like, 100% with my running at the minute, so, you know, hopefully if I get things sorted, I'll be a bit better for the next one. But, yeah.
What's next on your list then, or is it...
The next one's in a couple of weeks, and it's, I think it's the relays, so it's the...
Oh, it's the Nationals, isn't it?
Berry Hill, yeah.
Yes. Is it Lauren, Tilly, Dad and you then in one team?
We can't all be in one team, it has to be age group.
Oh, that's terrible!
So it's like three in a team for the relays, so they'll be like... So I think we come into like two teams for each, so there's like six people for each age group.
We'll have a chat about that one next week, and wish you the best of luck next week. You can tell us all about next week. But I'm told we're past 7:30, and that's the time I'm told I've got to say goodbye to you because you've got to go training.
Well, we could talk forever. Now I'm at home. I'm not training.
Are you at home tonight?
Yeah, I don't feel very well, so I'd sort of stay at home.
Well, there you go then. As Tilly and Lauren gone training.
Yeah, and Dad has gone training.
You stopped at home in the warm to watch EastEnders. Well, I don't blame you.
I'm watching Coronation Street.
You're watching Corrie, are you? Corrie, a piece of cake, feet up. What more can you ask for? And of course, when we talk next week, it's going to be very close to this big birthday as well.
I know.
18. We'll talk about that one next week as well.
Okay.
And cake will arrive next week.
Hang on, what date is next week? Is it the 24th?
I don't know.
The 24th is Tilly and Lauren's birthday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Are you going to be around?
Yeah, should be.
Good. You'll all be training.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week, Amber.
Okay.
Lovely. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. See, as I said before, you have a... radio station next to a railway station, that's what happens. Amber, the fantastic Amber Owens again, in fine form, Tony.
I can't understand how they're so successful. They all talk about just eating cake.
I know they do. And then they go and run. You're taking plenty of cake. You get soggy in that tent. Right, let's do the Nationals, and then we're gonna get back to a bit of equestrian.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And of course, it's all over about Craig Shakespeare tonight. He's been sacked as manager of Leicester. He's only been there since June. The Premier League champions give him the job after they got rid of Claudio Ranieri in the same sort of circumstances. Last night's 1-1 draw at West Ham leaves them in the relegation zone. Well, pretty much everybody who knew about football expected them to be, so what's the problem? Northern Ireland need to get past Switzerland to make it to next summer's World Cup in Russia. They face each other in next month's playoff. But boss Michael O'Neill says he's pleased to avoid Italy. I should hope he is. But no, it'd be a tough task against a side who's only lost once in their last 20 World Cup qualifiers. But being good in World Cup qualifiers don't make you good in the World Cup finals. Ask England. The Republic of Ireland take on Denmark, and they will have the home advantage in the second leg. Croatia face Greece, while Sweden got the short straw. They play Italy. Meanwhile, Wales will play a friendly against the Euro 2016 finalist France next month. Chelsea boss Antonio Conte says Alvaro Moreno will be fit for the Champions League match against Roma tonight. He missed the loss at Crystal Palace with a hamstring injury. And Tottenham face possibly the toughest task when they take on holders Real Madrid in Spain. And there's a question for you, Mr. Smith. When Tottenham last played Real Madrid in the Champions League, where was Harry Kane? You've got 30 seconds, and then you can give me the answer.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
So when Tottenham last played Real Madrid in the Champions League, where was Harry Kane?
In his mother's womb.
Harry Kane, it was 6 years ago.
Oh.
It was 6 years ago. Harry Kane was a
looks older, doesn't he?
Was a substitute for Leighton Orient in their match against Plymouth, and he came on with 6 minutes to go. There you go. You see, it's
only 6 years ago.
It's homework. Yeah, well, they had a good run, didn't they, 6 years ago when they last sort of got up there, and they played Madrid then. Come on, you're supposed to be the expert, right? Lily, your turn. Just put that mic in front of you because it's your big moment. That's right. Right up to the mic, Lily, if you would. Right, my notes tell me that Newark Academy was the first Newark school to have entered these competitions, and you're the first Newark school child to qualify for the championships. Can you tell us how you qualified?
It was at Arena UK in Grantham, and we went as a team of three. And I came second as an individual out of about 40 people, and then we also came third as a team and qualified for December as well.
When you went to those championships in June, was you hoping to qualify, or was you just going to see how it all worked? And what was the mindset when you went last time?
We didn't really know what was happening, really. We just kind of went in and jumped round, and then if we got a rosette, that was even better. So
your pony, yeah, name of which one? You see, this is it. She's got more than one. Let's talk about the pony you're going to ride in the next couple of days.
She's called Lady,
and the other one is Bertie. But is Lady the number one pony then, shall we say? Is that the better of the two? So how long, just tell me again, how long have you had Lady?
3 years.
And how often do you work together? Because you've got to act as this is a team thing, isn't it? It's you and the horse, and the horse has got to understand you, and you've got to understand what the horse will and will not do. Am I right in that? You've got to work together. So just tell me few of the quirks of Lady, what you have to do to get Lady to do what you want Lady to do.
She's quite mardy when you're trying to get her out of the stable and brush her and be nice to her.
So you don't get up very well in the morning?
No.
So you don't want to be riding first thing in the morning then?
No, not Lily Mardy, the pony.
Yeah. Yes, I meant the pony. Yeah. The pony's got to be ready and rearing to go.
Yeah.
You go into Milton Keynes, and obviously everybody there is going to be good, and you're not going with any sort of preconceived that I'm going to win this. What do you actually expect out of the next two or three days?
I just kind of want to go for the experience, and then see what happens from there, and hopefully qualify again, for next year, and qualify as a team as well, and just kind of get the experience of what it is like to be in that environment of
having a pony. And just put the mic round to Alice and Jess, can you a moment, because who's it going to be then? It's going to be Jess, right? That's top of my list, right? So Jess, how old are you, Jess?
I'm 13.
You're 13, and having a pony as a 13-year-old girl, do I assume that means you get up early in the morning before you go to school? You've got to get that pony mucked out, ready, out into the field. Is that part of the daily routine for
you? No, I keep him at a riding school,
So you've got it good, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I pay them to do it all for me.
Wow, that's not bad.
In a nutshell.
You've got luxury then.
I do, I have luxury. I don't even have to go down. All I have to do is just go down and ride him.
Alice, have you got luxury?
No.
Right, just put that mic round to Alice then. So, Alice, are you 13 as well?
Yeah.
Right, you're 13. How does your day begin?
Well, in the winter, my mum looks out for me whilst I'm at school.
They've got it made, haven't they?
I do weekends, though.
Oh, that's very good of you. But this is something that has to be done every single morning, is it? You've got to go out to the pony, clean that stable out. Or mum's got to go out to the pony. Poor old mum has got to go out.
She has to do two stables as well.
They've got it. Louise, when you was a youngster and you had ponies, whose job was it then? Was it mum's? Come on, then. Now what's happening? There's music all over the place in this studio tonight.
There's a band on at the station.
There's a band on at the station. Louise, what do you do in the morning then, as regards these horses and ponies?
Yeah, I'm the one who gets to get up early again, let them all out before you do school run and go to work, I'm afraid, yeah. So, I think we're a bit muggins, aren't we, Alice?
It sounds pretty much like it. In all seriousness, so we spoke just before 7:30. What's it entailed to get Lily and Lady down there? What have you had to physically do to get them there? To be fair to Lily,
she's a hard worker. You do ride every night, Lily, don't you? But she has got the two ponies, well, three really, but between the three of them, she rides solidly every night. So that's where the work goes in, the exercise goes in, and we do a lot of training. We were all out training last night, weren't we, girls? But this is a prime example of children forgetting things. Lily turned up to training without a hat, which was the one job she had to do, putting the car herself. She turned up without a riding hat. But that's typical girl, teenage girls for you, isn't it?
Lily, put that. You're not getting away with this. you are not getting away with this one. Isn't that sort of apart from Lady, you cannot go anywhere without. I mean, I take it you don't ride without a hat, do you?
No.
I mean that is. Did you, Mum, used to ride without a hat?
No.
Because I mean, the old.
She's not that old.
She's sticking up for you, Mum.
Exactly.
That was a compliment.
I'll take that.
Do you still see people ride without hats? Or
yeah.
You do? I mean, it's brainless, isn't
it? Like the top hat things.
Oh, yeah, but they're different.
I mean, youngsters like yourself, do you all wear hats now? I mean,
I have to.
You have to. Just flash that mic around again, because Alice is going to tell us why. And I take it, Alice, then, this is Mum's instructions, is it, or...?
No, it's just because my pony is very, very spooky, so, like, anything could happen.
When you say spooky, just to people like Tony, who doesn't know what a horse is, if you took your pony out along the railway line or anything like that, and a train come, and would that spook the pony?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hack my main one on the road because I don't really feel safe on the road with him, but I do my other one, and he's fine. So,
have you ever? I mean, I take it you've all at one stage or other, you've all hit the ground, have you?
just a couple.
Can you remember the most spectacular?
Well, I fell off last night, so...
that should be good in the memory, then. tell me about last night, then. What went wrong last night?
I don't really know, to be honest. Well, I lost my stirrup before the jump, and then he jumped it, and then he, like, twisted in the air, and then, like, fell onto his neck. And my hat came down, so I couldn't see where his neck was to grab hold of it, so I kind of just hit the ground.
It may be a silly question, but Jess, you can answer my silly question. Is there a right and a wrong way to fall off a horse? I mean, do you have to try and get yourself into a ball, or is it just... Is there a way to fall off a horse? Do you know what to do? Does the mind set... You know, when you come off, does the mind put you into a different
set?
Well,
the right way is you should roll away, like, but it never happens. Like, you sometimes just flop. Like, you just, like, you know, because you hit it with force sometimes, but you meant to roll away.
What's your most spectacular fall from?
Well, it was on a different horse, and I was doing this bounce. It's like jump, 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 jump. And she ran out and I fell off, lost all my stirrups, and she scraped along me on the fence. So she was one side, the jump was... Well, there's a fence, the horse and me, and then the jump. And there's only room for one of us, so I kind of fell, and then I was scraping along the wall until she had room to move. And then, yeah, I made a dint in the fence.
Oh, did you make a dint in you?
Nah, yeah. I had bruises, but I was okay. I got back on and I did it.
You got back on?
Yeah.
Lily, have you ever broke anything? Arms and legs or anything like that?
I've never broken anything, but I have had a good fall. I'd only just got lady and I was... entered a bareback competition and they were like tiny, like on the floor, and I was jumping around and I didn't know where that was, so I came to the jump and I came to it and I like kicked her on, but then realised I didn't have anything to hold on to, so I kind of lost control. I aimed for she headed for the wing, jumped it, and I kind of ended up in the middle. And I went straight through the wing as well. And I broke it.
I actually have experience of this because I once fell off a donkey in Ireland.
A donkey?
Yeah. It was a runaway donkey, but it suddenly stopped very sharply, and I didn't.
What the one thing that Tony didn't tell you, the only way that they could actually stop this donkey is to pull the plug out of the socket. Right. Okay. Seriousness now, because it is a serious couple of days you've got at Milton Keynes. The championships starts at 8 a.m. on Thursday morning. That's nice and early for you, Lily. We wish you the best of luck. We all do. Mum's going to tell us how you got on. I'm quite confident you're going to be sitting here next week with a trophy on there.
Don't see that.
Quite confident. Girls, are you going to be wishing her all the best from the academy? Because she's flying the flag for Newark, isn't she?
Yeah, we're going to be wishing her very good luck. And we hope she tries her best and makes herself proud and the team proud.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely sure she will. And Mum, what's your thoughts going into this big week? Because one, you're going to be a very proud mum. Two, a very nervous mum. Like anything in sport, you do your best, and if your best is good enough on the day, you'll come home smiling.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, like I say, it's a big thing. We do things with pony clubs and everything, but to be going as an individual and doing this by ourselves, and a whole new year for us doing the NSEA, this is a fantastic opportunity. But yeah, horses are fantastic 99% of the time, but if they're going to have a pole, you know it's going to be a pole in a championship class, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens, won't we? But I'm sure it'll all be good fun as long as we stay dry.
I'm sure you'll stay dry. Coming up next, Andrew Lobert. If Andrew gets chatting, that will take us through to 8 o'clock. So, Lily, I'll wish you all the best now. No pressure. You're just flying the flag for Newark. No pressure at all. You go out there, smile and enjoy it, and tell us how you got on next week. If we get a chance to talk to you before 8 o'clock, I will do, but I have a feeling I might not get a word in edgeways for the next 10 minutes.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Okay, back to the telephones, and joining us now is our boxing correspondent, no less, Mr. Andrew Lowe. Andrew, good evening. Welcome back to Radio Newark.
Good evening. Thanks for having me again.
I listened to Carl Greaves at the weekend, and Carl was using words like, I've never seen anything like it in 30 years, totally disgusted, no place in this, in professional boxing for this, he should get back to the amateur arena, totally out of order. Andrew, tell our listeners, please, what it was all about. Obviously, it was Nathan McIntosh's his first televised event, and it all went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't with Nathan that night. I was with Fonz in Wales, but news started feeding through to me straight away. Basically, Nathan McIntosh was fighting an 8-round non-title fight against Lewis Adolfi from London. I think it was the end of the first round. I think Nathan was his box of tricks, Nathan is, so I think he was frustrating him a little bit. Coming towards the end of the first round, they got in a clinch, got tangled up, and the ref shouted break, which you can clearly hear on the video. They both stepped back, and then Lewis Adolfi just threw a big right hand and knocked poor Nathan out. So he wasn't saying he was out cold, but obviously he wasn't expecting it, he wasn't ready. And with a lot of force, he got put down for a little bit, and paramedics had to come in just to make sure he was all right. I mean, he was all right, thankfully, but it was basically a nasty cheap shot. And when he threw it, he was running around the ring celebrating like he just won a world title while Nathan was on the floor, and the ref just disqualified him straight away.
I mean, there is no place. I mean, it was obviously it was premeditated. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
What should and will happen to him?
What a lot of people probably don't, I'm not aware of as well. Backstage after, he took another cheap shot at Nathan. I mean, I think it's common knowledge, but I don't know if it is. But he took another cheap shot at Nathan from the back, which Nathan said it was like his 8 or 9 year old kid hitting him. And then I think Nathan's mum was there. She obviously wasn't happy about it at all, so she had words with Adolfi, and apparently he started on her. He pulled her hair apparently and threw a drink on her. So there's a big ruckus behind stage as well. So what should happen is he should get his license took off him and a heavy fine straight away. So I'm hoping that's what's going to happen to me and Carla no more than me. But I was talking to Carl last night, and it's looking pretty nailed on that there's definitely going to be repercussions for him, which there should be as well. Because after the fight in the ring as well, he was sticking his two middle fingers in the air at the crowd who were booing him, and I think when Nathan was still on the floor, he was like using his right arm as like a cocking, you know, like he was cocking a weapon, cocking it like he just fired a weapon, you know what I mean? So he's just totally wrong for the sport of boxing, his whole persona, and he should get banned. He should get a lifetime ban in my opinion, because it's dangerous, could really seriously hurt him. And the fact that he felt no remorse after, it just shows what sort of person he is.
Was he an absolute nutter, or was he on some medication we should know about?
Well, I think he should be on medication, but on his second fight, he boxed my lad Fons Alexander, you know. He boxed him in London, and I was actually in Euro Disney, I went there, called Fons down against him then. And there was only a bit of a fight, and they had a clash of heads, and Fons got a big cut on his eye, and he couldn't continue. And I mean, after that, in his interview, he was some of the stuff he was coming out with was ridiculous. So you could see what sort of person he was then, but from what I can gather, Nathan was just bamboozling him, I think, and he obviously got frustrated, and that's what he did, but he should be banned for life, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no place in such a...
No.
I mean, the sport is...
It's a big
is...
stage as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's Nathan's first televisors on a massive bill. It's brilliant. I mean, I saw Nathan after his last fight in the gym between, and he was really up for this. He was in great shape, sharp as a knife. I really fancied him to do a number on him, but obviously he probably was going to do a number on him, and Adolfi knew this, but his whole attitude is just wrong.
But I mean, I think Nathan's come out of it very, very well in that he didn't sort of react, especially when it kicked off with his mum.
No, I know exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think when it kicked off with his mum, he was quite. He kept his calm. Kept his calm and did well, bless him, because I don't think I'd be able to do that.
Exactly. Full credit to the lad. I mean, that shows the difference between the two personalities, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. He just thinks, Lewis Adolfi just, I think he just thinks he's, well, I don't know, I can't say on the radio, can I?
No, exactly, but I mean, we all know what words he's thinking of.
I've got the bleep button here already, don't worry, Andrew.
I'm away, I'm on radio. He just thinks he's a bad man, doesn't he? We'll say that.
Yeah, and Andrew, what's Nathan moves on to the next one now and puts that debacle behind him?
Well, hopefully. Well, I'm not sure. I was talking to Carl before, because Carl's got a big show on the 25th of November in Harvey Haddam in Nottingham, where all Nino will be fighting, and Jake and all the others. And he was talking about putting Nathan on that, but he wasn't sure. It depends how this fight went, you see. But I'm assuming now that he will probably be on the bill, but I don't know for certain. So 25th of November, hopefully.
Jake's fighting before then, isn't he? Was it Grimsby or something?
No, Jake was supposed to be fighting Friday, but he's not fighting now. He's feeling a bit ropey and he's come down with tonsillitis anyway, so he's just down to fight on the 25th of November.
Okay.
Hopefully Ollie as well, so should be good.
It should be a good night, that one, at the RV Adam then.
Yeah.
And
a special shout out for Fonz, my man Fonz.
Well, I was going to bring that up because I got all the sort of Facebook messages and everything wrong, and he didn't actually win then, I understand.
No, we got he fought another unbeaten kid, his first 8-rounder, and topped the bill in Wales on a big Murphy Tidville bill. Topped the bill, he come up just short. I mean, he lost fair and square against a good lad, but I had it a bit closer than what the ref scored it. But again, come out of it brilliant, did really well. That's his 71st pro fight. He's away for the next couple of weeks. And he's got a fight from the 3rd of November every weekend up until the 2nd of December. he's brilliant, you know. He's got all his wits about him. He does everything right. He lives the right life. He'll go on for another 100 fights that month.
How's he do it, Andrew? Because, you know, people need 2 and 3 months to get ready for a fight. He doesn't want to the fighting. Next.
The lads he's fighting, they're like training twice a day for 6 or 7 weeks for these fights. Old Fonz, he walks in the gym, sometimes he'll have a bit of pads and then he'll just do his own thing, but he eats right, he loves cooking, he eats right and keeps himself in shape, he's on weight all the time, he just goes in there, gives these prospects the right fight. I mean, he's ever so well respected in the boxing game. You look at his record and think, oh, he's crap. everyone in the boxing game knows him, you know, he's a brilliant lad. What he is a stepping stone for these lads who are just about to make it to the like area title level or English title, right? They're just making that step up. They'll fight Fonz because he's a dangerous kid, you know. He can bang and it's good a couple of times on Saturday, but he just got out of box a little bit. But yeah, he's all right. I've done 69, 70 of Fonz's fights, and I've only ever seen him in trouble once where I thought, I don't like this, might have to pull you out, but then he turned it round. I mean, every other time he's fought some of the best lads. He's fought British champions, English champions, he's intercontinental world thingamajiggy champions. honestly, he's been in with them all. They're like days' notice, weeks' notice. I'm trying to get him on the radio. You know, next time we get the lads in, I'm trying to get him in.
Get him in before the end of November. We'll get something organised, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm gonna get him in. I'm gonna drag him in because
we'll pick a night he's not boxing and get him in. Andrew, thank you for joining us. Thank you for talking about that and. It's just there's no place. It's just no place at all for it.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. It's just like it's something like you see on their horrible videos. You see on the street with the bullies where they just like go up to an innocent bystander and give them a good whacking.
That is not what the sport's all about. He should take up wrestling if he wants
especially
to be a showman.
On live TV as well.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Andrew. Thank you so much.
See you soon.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye bye.
Cheers, mate.
Andrew Lowe there on. There's just no place for them. If the boxing board's got anything about them at all, they'll say goodbye.
That's got to be career ending.
It's got to be, hasn't it? It really has got to be. But somebody whose career is just starting, because over the next 2 days, she's not even listening to me. She's on that. She don't go around that ring on a mobile phone, does she? Lily, your own time.
Lily, you're on.
Right, you're on. We've said good luck to you. Do you have a last word with Lady tonight before you put her down for the night? Will you go and see her again, or is that it now? We're going to have a quiet word and say, come on, me and you tomorrow, on Thursday.
I'll probably go and see her before we take her tomorrow.
And just have that one quiet word and say, it's me and you. Well, the best of luck to you. We said it before, but the best of luck to you. We're all rooting for you. Mum, are you going to keep on that email machine and just let us know how she got on, because
we'll do, you know, and then hopefully we'll be back again when the team are doing their champs.
Exactly.
December.
You're all very welcome to come in. This is what I keep saying, people, let us know and you can come in on the radio. That's exactly what Mum did. She let us know and she's back here on the radio. Tomorrow night we have John Wells, no less, Leicester Tigers, Newcastle Falcons. What are you doing to that mic? Newcastle Falcons and the Magnus Grammar School. On the phone, somewhere from up north. John Marshall's here as well. He's talking about Notts County, and he's a big mate of John Wells. So it's going to be fun. But now, it's Stuart Preston time.
Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7.